Oh my, it is good to be here tonight. Patrick, I just want to say, we could have did another song and I probably would have forgot what I was about to do. That was beautiful, man. I thank you for being able to lead for me. Noah, I appreciate you for saying the prayer. Michael, I appreciate you for saying the scripture for me. And Monty, I know you're going to do a good job with the closing prayer. I just want to thank you young men for doing what y'all are doing for me. And it really means a lot to me. I'm so happy to be here tonight. This really means a lot to me. I want to say thank you to Ray, Brother Billy, and Brother Roy for giving me the opportunity to come up here and speak to you guys tonight. And like I told everybody, keep walking closer, I'm sorry. Like I told everybody before they walked in and told me, good luck tonight. So the biggest thing for me is to try to keep you guys awake tonight because, you know, I know how easy it can be. You're sitting in those comfortable seats, listening to somebody, you can get a little cozy and want to fall asleep. But my goal tonight is just to say something that keep you awake, but in all seriousness, just open your hearts and hopefully say something tonight that will be very beneficial to you and that you can take and apply with your lives. When Ray sent out the topics in the email to us, there were a lot of great topics that I could have done and could have chose, but I saw one that stuck out to me because this topic has been something I've struggled with my whole life, but more frequently in the past 2 years of my life. And the topic is do not worry. And as Christians, sometimes we surround ourselves with worry and problems. And I wish I could tell you tonight that after this lesson, maybe you can walk out of here and you won't face any more problems, but I know and you know that that would be a lie. The truth is, when you walk out of this building, you're probably going to encounter more problems than you probably ever imagined. Life is just a constant reminder that you need God in order to have strength to face those problems that are going to come. And over the past few years, that has meant more to me than it has ever in my life. And as Michael read to us earlier, the scripture from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 24, I won't read all of it again, but just to hit some key words in those scriptures. When it tells us, therefore, to not worry about your life and what you will eat and what you will drink, nor your body or what you will put on, it takes me back to when the time when I was a kid and I used to worry about so much about, you know, I got to look good for school in the morning. I got to make sure I'm looking fly. I got to make sure I'm doing this and make sure I'm doing that. And being so worried about earthly things and being worried about the wrong things can consume you. And as I began to read over the scripture again when I was preparing for this lesson, you know, I had to look at it from a different point of view. You know, I look at it now from, I'm a grown man now. It's 23 years old. I just turned 23 last week, and that still blows my mind that I've been here for 23 years. But when I go back and I'm sitting in your seats as students, I go back to all the times I would sit and worry about tests after 34, getting classes ready for next semester and the semester to come, and just trying to be a great student and a great servant of God that it can consume you sometimes, and you can lose sight of what's really important. And so when I read over this verses over and over again, when I was preparing for this lesson, I decided that, you know, the route I want to take is going to be a little bit more personal because, like I said, over the past 2 years, worrying has been something that I've struggled with very badly, and to the point where I know some of you have felt this way, it can make you sick. It can make you call upon God in ways you've never done in your whole entire life. But I know you may be asking, well, Will, I've been worried, but I don't know if I've been that worried. Well, just keep living. I promise you it's going to come. But when you think of the word worrying, you know, words that come to mind that are similar to it are, you know, being anxious, being uncertain of things. And according to Webster's Dictionary, what does it mean to worry? To torment oneself with or with suffering from disturbing thoughts, to fret, And to put that in simpler terms, basically think about problems or fears that will show fear and concern because you think something bad is going to happen, which usually never does. And I know for most of you, that probably hits home. Because there's been many times when we can sit back and we have a problem arise. Or in my case, you know, sometimes I'll be with my girlfriend and I get a text and it's like, well, where are you? What are you doing? I have a question. Maybe get that. That is the scariest thing that you could ever get in your life. I got a question. Uh-oh. What did I do? What did I say to her early? Make sure I didn't call her fat, ugly. Her makeup looked okay, but I mean, I don't know. She could have done better. I'm just kidding, sweetie. I'm probably going to get in trouble for that later on. So, see, I got a problem coming ahead of me right now. So, but you find yourself uncertain of your abilities when you allow worry to creep into your mind. It can kill your thought process. It can kill your faith in yourself. And it can ultimately physically make you sick. Trust me, I know all about that. And when you understand what worrying means, you ask yourself, well, what causes us sometimes to worry? What are some of the main things that cause us to worry? And that can be the fear of not knowing, thoughts of what could go wrong when you're not prepared. And I've been in that situation plenty of times. I look back in when I was in school and, you know, you have a speech coming up, and when you're saying to speak to somebody like Janine Dunlap or Steve Johnson, you get a little bit worried that you're going to mess up, and you don't want to look like a fool in front of them, especially if it's Janine. But I love her to death. I hope she's not here tonight. But it allows you to become so worried about doing the wrong thing that when you're not prepared, you get up here. And I could have easily been unprepared tonight and got up here and either forgot what I was going to say or just made a complete fool of myself. But when you worry about things, those are some of the things that can cause you to worry. And when you have no belief system behind you, and then also when you have no faith in yourself or in God. And then when you find out what caused you to worry, you ask yourself, well, what are some of the main things that people worry about today, for young age and for older age? And as I did some research, I mean, I just, you know, Googled, what are some of the main things that people worried about? And I mean, I got some crazy things back, but I mean, I got a few things that I ask myself all the time. But first one was, will I ever find the right person for me? And I know when you come to Freed Hardeman as a freshman, you know, that's one thing that, you know, it kind of gets harped on about Freed. You know, you come in as a freshman and you're married as a senior. And sometimes that can be good. Sometimes that can be bad. Some people know what they want. Some people don't. And the second one was to live or not to live. And I think this is something that we all ask ourselves. We can look back on our life and say, did I do enough? Did I live enough? Or was I too afraid to do it? And third one, I think we've all struggled with sometime in our life. And I know it can be hard as young kids we ask ourselves this question all the time, but am I good enough? And fourth, and I hope that, hope we all ask ourselves this, but will I be rich one day? And I'm still working on that now. I got a long way to go. Maybe there's some of you in here that have the secret tool that can help me out and give it to me before I leave. And others are, I think back when I was in school again, I asked myself this question many times, and it usually didn't work out in my favor, but will I pass this test tomorrow? It usually didn't go as planned, and I got in trouble for that a lot by Sam Jones and Rhonda, so. And I think the most important thing that most people worry about nowadays is how will I leave my mark in this life? How will I be remembered in this life? I recently watched a movie, I think it was last week, with a few friends of mine, and it was entitled The Good Dinosaur. And it's an animated movie, so I mean, you can laugh at me if you want, but I love animated movies. I love The Lion King, Toy Story, you name it. I still watch it to this day. But in this movie, the good dinosaur, his name was, I can't think of the dinosaur's name now. Help me out. I know Katie knows. Thank you. Arlo. Yes, Arlo. But Arlo was, I believe, the youngest of the three dinosaurs that were born. But in the movie, it started out, there were eggs in the barn, and there were, I think it was two little eggs and one big egg. And so when the two other regular-sized eggs hatched, out come two normal dinosaurs. And out of the big egg, I know I was expecting, like, man, this thing's about to be huge. But out pops little Arlo, who was the smallest of out of three siblings. And in the movie, as it goes on to show, these dinosaurs work on a farm. They own their own property, which kind of just threw me for a loop. I mean, it's just crazy. But they do chores. And Arlo, being the smallest, was given the easiest chore, delivering corn to the chicken coop. Or feed, or whatever it was, I really don't know. But he was afraid of the chickens. They would attack him, and he was so frightful of everything because he was so much smaller than his brothers and his sister. And anybody getting attacked by chickens, my father can tell you that well. He has a mark on his head from when he got hit by a chicken, I think. He's over there laughing about it. And in the movie, Arlo is taken through a series of trials. His father tries to motivate him to keep moving on and keep pushing. Because each time in the movie when the dinosaurs would complete a chore and do it correctly, they would get to stomp their foot in the mud and leave their mark on, they had like a tower built, and they would get to leave their mark. And Arlo was yet to make his mark out of his mom, his dad, his brother, and his sister. Arlo was struggling to find out what he was good at. And so throughout the movie, he goes through a series of trials. He loses his father in a tragic storm. And then as the movie goes on, he meets a friend, a young friend, and Arlo gets lost, and he gets taken away from his family. And he's still trying to find his way on how he's going to leave his mark in this life. So as the movie goes on, he goes through these trials, and he makes his way back home. And he finds his mom and his sister and his brother. And Arlo was going through all these trials, and he kept fighting. He pushed on. He could have easily quit. And then also in the movie, Arlo's friend that was with him through the entire time, Arlo led him back to his family. And to make a long story short, at the end of the movie, Arlo found that he was able to make his mark and put his mark on the wall. And I think for us as Christians, we also wonder, you know, how are we going to be remembered in this life? What am I going to do that is going to hopefully change somebody's life or leave a memory in their mind that it's going to be good? Will God look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. How will I be remembered? And just a little food for thought. I'm a guy who likes quotes. I like reading about history and about finding different things, different quotes that have meanings behind them that are deep and that are applied to your life, that you can take it to apply to your life. And I found a quote by Winston Churchill. And it said, when I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of an old man who said on his deathbed that when he had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on my deathbed and look back at my life and say that I didn't live enough because I was too afraid or I was too worried about problems coming that never did come. And tonight, it is my goal that I'll say something that if you're here tonight and you're going through problems or you're worried to the max or you're stressed out about school or you're facing a time in your life where you're just afraid and you're worried about tomorrow or what's going to happen or how am I going to make it through. I'm here to give you three key reminders on why we as Christians should not worry. And the first reminder is that we remember that God is our safe haven. The second is that God will provide our every need. And third is that God promises us. God is our safe haven. And that means that being secure and having assurance and knowledge of being safe in God's arms. We must have faith in God that allows us to overcome self-doubt and fear of the unknown. And if you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, I'd like to read for you a scripture that I've read many times in my life, and I'm sure most of you probably know it by heart, but it's something that got me through a lot of times in my life where I was unsure of myself. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Now for me, I know most of you probably heard this verse and you probably heard it in Bible classes and Bible schools growing up on when you face hard times in life. It's not your place to question God, and that's why, God. Why is this happen like this? You lean not on your own understanding. I know God works in mysterious ways, but God has a plan. God's will never lead you anywhere where his grace will not protect you. You're going to go through some things in life that are going to push you back, going to knock you down, and going to allow you to question God in ways you never thought you would. And like I said, if you haven't been there, just keep living and you will. But like God tells us, it's not our place to question him. We should trust him enough to know that if he's going to take me through this, then there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a meaning behind it. And also Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. It's also been one of the verses that I've read growing up, but more frequently here in the past 2 years. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, and it reads, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in him, the Lord is everlasting strength. And when I read this verse now, it kind of hits home. You know, when the times I look back when I was so worried about things in life that I had no business being worried about. When I was so low that I couldn't get up anymore, to the times where it physically made me sick. I had to go back and realize that God was my strength. God was going to lift me up. God was going to make sure I got through this. Whether it be in a few days, a few weeks, or even a few years, God was going to make sure that I was going to be okay. Because God was my shelter and my safe haven. And there are numerous times I can look back on my life and each problem, each worry that I had, where I didn't know how I was going to make it through tomorrow, how am I going to get through this? I'm not ready for this. I'm scared. I can't do this, God. I don't know why you're giving this to me. You know I'm weak. I can't do this. I'm not mentally prepared for this. I'm not physically ready for this. Why are you doing this to me? In my 23 years of living, each obstacle that I can look back and say that I was worried about, not a one I can't say, God, and bring me through. Not a one. And so for me, it gives me peace in knowing that God is my safe haven and And as I look back and I think of an example, for me, when I was a child, I was very scared of everything, the darkness, bugs, storms, you name it. And on this one particular night, there was a thunderstorm coming through. And my mom was the one who would make us get in the hallways and make sure that we were away from windows and all that good stuff. Just be precautious. And although sometimes Daddy would just stay asleep, he didn't really listen to what Rhonda had to say most of the time. He was just in his bed sleeping while I'm in the floor crying. But on this night, I can remember where it was me, my mom, my brother, my middle brother Jared at the time, and my dad. We were in the hallway, and this storm was coming. It was raging. It was getting loud. And I'm terrified of everything, so I'm crying, holding on to my mom, saying, "Mama, why is this happening? You know, God is going to kill me. If this storm just keeps coming," I'm crying. I'm afraid. I'm shaking. I'm in the covers. My brother's over here asleep. My dad's near asleep. I'm like, why is everybody else not terrified like I am? I am terrified to the point where I'm sweating. And you know when you cry so much, you get that, all that. I'm doing that, and I can't stop. I'm like, "Mama, why is this happening? When is God going to calm this storm down? I want to go to sleep. I'm terrified." And as my mom sitting there playing her game, whatever she's doing on the computer, I think it was Scrabble. I don't know who she was playing with. She played Scrabble by herself a lot, but she looked at me and said, "Baby, it's okay. It's okay. I want you to know that in life you're going to go through storms like this. And although it may endure for a night, it may endure for a long time, but it's going to be okay. Because God is your safe haven. You see this house that we're in right now? The storm outside is not going to get in. God promised you that he was going to take care of you. And he will. It's not you crying anymore that you worry. Everything is going to be okay." And the second reminder is that God provides every need. Every need that you ever need in your life. As Christians, we sometimes become so impatient with things and selfish and needy. We always want new jobs, new cars, the newest phone out, the latest trends, you name it. And as Jesus tells us in verses 31 and 33 of Matthew chapter 6, as Michael read to us earlier, we seek after things that, you know, we may want, but they're not necessarily that important. They're things we can do without. But we as humans, it's human nature to just be up to date with everything. I want that new iPhone 7 that's going to come out soon. I want the newest Jordans that are coming out. And if it's girls, I want the newest Pandora bracelet, all the charms that come with it. You name it, the newest boots. I don't know what you girls do these days, but as Justin spoke to us, I think it was 2 weeks ago, about laying up our treasures in heaven. You know, we as Christians sometimes can get distracted from earthly desires instead of making sure that we have things in order for heaven. Are we laying up the right treasures? Are we making sure that we're studying enough in our Bible, that we're doing what we need to do in our community, that we're doing what we need to do as Christians in service of the Lord? You know, if you do the Lord's will, things will come along with that. God will provide what you need, not what you want. God will provide you with everything that you need. Now, I'm not saying go home and pray tonight for $1 million, because that's not going to happen. I've tried it. But God has provided me with opportunities in life that have blessed me to be able to do things that I need to do, not that I want to do, but that are necessary for his kingdom. And I can take back, and I can take a look back on my life sometimes where I wanted this and that, and I was very ungrateful of opportunities that I had before me. You know, I was worried about the wrong things, impressing people, trying to be the most outgoing, be the most sociable, be the best person I could be, making sure that I made it known. And that just wasn't right. I was needing that source of gratitude. Look at me, I'm somebody. But deep down, I was nobody. Just a stupid kid that was selfish and spoiled, didn't deserve anything that I had. And now that I look back, I realize it. All those things that I wanted, not that I needed, but all those things that I wanted to have so bad in life, I made it just fine without it. God provided everything that I ever needed in my life and more. Because I'm just a sinner that is saved by grace. I don't deserve anything. I'm not worthy of anything. I'm not worthy to be up in front of you right now, but God made a way for me to be here. I'm not going to shy away from the opportunity to let you know that me being up here tonight is a sign that you can do anything. You don't have to have everything. God will give you what you need. And even in my midst of trials and hard times that I've had to face in my life, God provided me with strength. He provided me with a family who loved me, friends who cared about me, and he provided me with a promise that I remember every day. Which leads me to my third and my final point. God promises us. Psalms chapter 30, verse 5. Towards the latter part of that scripture and that verse, it says, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." And I don't know about for most of you, but if you ever been to a point in your life, and I know some of the older people may understand, but when you get to that point of what they call the midlife crisis, and this is where you find yourself on your knees, begging the God to send some type of relief, some type of sign, something to just get you through the night. And for students, it may be you may have just gotten a call from a friend back home or your mom or somebody back home that is sick that you care about, or you may have got some bad news and you're in a dark time. You're in a dark place. You don't understand why things are happening the way they're happening. This is not what you planned on when you got to Freed Hardeman. You thought things were going to be better, but things have just gotten worse since I've been here. Mom, I don't know what's going on. I've tried to make friends. I've tried to do the right thing. I've tried my best in the classes, but it's just not working out. Where you find yourself either in your bedroom or in your dorm room, literally crying in tears. And fellas, you don't have to be ashamed to say it. Trust me. I mean, one night I cried for about 2 hours. I failed a test. I knew I had to tell Sam Jones about it, and I cried. I said, for one, I'm 21 years old, but I'm probably still going to get a spanking. And I said, he probably going to kick me out the house when he sees his grade, because I didn't just fail it. I failed it. And I didn't go to chapel that day, so I had to deal with that too. So, but whenever I read this verse, it really hits home. Because there's been a lot of times where I've been in my darkest nights. And I cried all night, all night. But peace came in the morning when I woke up. Pray to God not to give me easy days, but to give me the strength to face the hard days. And I know he will because he promises me. And if you read with me in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, and I know most of you are familiar with this verse in this chapter too. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This reminder is probably the most difficult reminder for me that I had to really lean back on. Some of you know I lost my mother 2 years ago. We're going on 2 years. That was one of the hardest times of my life. Because anybody who knows me knows that I was a mama's boy. She did everything for me. If it wasn't for her, I don't think I'd be here right now. But when you lose someone like that, and then you have to deal with going on in life without her, it's where things get real. It's where you ask you, that's the point where you're going to really ask yourself, is serving God really worth it? He took the most important thing for me. Do I really want to keep serving a God like this? It's where I found myself as a young man. Having to go through a lot more by myself than most of my peers. And yes, I had a strong dad. In my opinion, the greatest man on the earth, but he was going through it too. And there were times where I really wanted to give up. Give up my faith in God, just walk away. Because I prayed to him so much that my mom get better, but he didn't see it that way. And I couldn't agree with that. I was angry. I was hurt. And I felt that I was alone and nobody was there for me. I didn't think I was going to graduate. I didn't think I was going to be able to get a job or do any of that. But God promised me that through the storm, he would be my rock and be my shelter. And that he was. I was able to graduate and I was able to, some odd months later, get a job. And I didn't give up on myself, but I prayed every night to God just to give me the strength to make it through the storm. And in my closing, I leave you with this poem because I know we got a guy there. I said I wouldn't pull a Sam Jones, but I've been up here for too long already. But I leave you with this poem called Footprints in the Sand. And one night, I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach of my Lord across the dark sky, flash scenes before my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one belonging to the Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints and said, I noticed that at my times along the path of my life, especially at the lowest and saddest times, there were only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints, Lord. I don't understand why I needed you the most. When I needed you the most, you left me. And the Lord replied, my precious child, I love you, and I will never leave you. Never during your trials or your suffering, when you saw only one set of footprints, that wasn't me leaving you. It was when I carried you. There may be someone here tonight who is facing troubles and facing times in their life where they feel alone and feel as if God has left and you can't make it anymore. But I'm here to tell you that God has not left your side. You may not realize it right now, but God is carrying you through this life and through this storm. You hold fast to that and hold fast to the understanding that God is your safe haven. God is going to provide you every need because God promised you. Now, there may be someone here tonight who was struggling and needs our prayers and needs our prayers from the church and may want to be baptized. And if that person is you, I urge you, do not hold out, do not go home and say, well, I'll do it next week. We're not all promised tomorrow. If you need prayers from the church or you need anything that we can help you with, please come down as we come and stand and sing.